She loves your bump music, Brian. I don't know what this is. Where did this one come from today?
That is Jane's Addiction. Been caught stealing. The lead singer that is the founder of Lollapalooza.
Oh, really? That's Farrell?
Yep.
Wow. Dr. Varble, did you know that?
I didn't. I'm really excited now. I didn't even save that, Brian, for some other uses. That is great. Love it.
Dr. Dana Varble, that's the voice you hear on the radio. She joins us every other Friday on 720 WGN. And Brian always has some great bump-in music for her because she's Chicago's exotic pet vet. She's also the chief veterinary officer for the North American veterinary community. Thanks for joining us today. Did you see that article I sent you? Are people really cloning dogs? I know they are. Some people are, right? Are they cloning dogs?
So they are. And you know what? It's a great article that Lee supported me. It's from The New Yorker. Very well-written piece. I had heard about this, but I still learned something from that article. And I'll tell you, it's a really interesting topic. It raises a series of interesting, you know, ethical and moral questions. But I got to be honest, the kicker at the end is $50,000, guys.
Yeah.
$50,000 to clone your dog.
Yeah.
It's
a rich man's playground is what it is. I mean, you pay $50,000 for a service dog, but that is a special dog that can save your life. But $50,000 because you want Pebbles recreated because you love Pebbles so much just seems odd.
It does. I mean, like I said, also, you know, it's really interesting to think about because I'm sure if you're a dog lover that you've probably had a dog in your life at some point that was incredibly special to you. All dogs are wonderful. You've probably had great relationships with many dogs, but there's a lot of people pinpoint one that maybe came to them at a hard time in their life or had some special traits or that you just had an extra special relationship with. And, you know, it's tempting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, to bring back this dog that you had such a special relationship with. But wow, you know, again, brings out a series of other issues. You bring back a twin, not the same dog. And, you know, oh wow, it's just emotionally, I'll be honest, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could. What if they weren't exactly the same?
Yeah, I couldn't do it. Just like I wouldn't clone a human being. And because there's also so many other dogs that don't have a home that are lovely dogs, and you don't know what your relationship is going to be with them until you have a relationship with them.
You know, I thought that was the one part of the article that was really, really heartwarming. The author brought up, you're leaving out another dog. You know, if you go to the shelter, you adopt a dog, or you get another dog, you might be missing another special relationship in your life, too, if you were just to clone another dog again. And I don't think I can live with myself because, you know, again, so many of our dogs are so special to us, each in their own unique way. But wow, it's an interesting time we live in, isn't it? The things science can do are remarkable.
Absolutely. Remarkable. All right. If you have a question about your dog, your cat, your hedgehog, your whatever kind of animal, your snake, your bird, whatever it might be, Dr. Dana Varble will answer them. Our number is 312-981-7200. If you're too shy to talk on the radio, of course, you can also send a text message. 4th of July, less than a week away. We know there are so many dogs that just suffer so much because the fireworks have already started. Is CBD a good idea, or what are your suggestions?
Yeah, you know, the jury's really out on CBD. You know, the challenging thing that we have with CBD is there's been very little research done. So we there's a couple of good studies out, but they have to do with epilepsy and pain management. And even though they're very early studies, we don't have a lot of definitive answers yet. So here's the interesting thing. For the most part, it rarely makes a dog that's got anxiety worse. So it can be worth trying. Here's the deal, though. If you have a dog you know is super scared, you know is going to be really worked up, you're dealing with more severe anxieties, I would go to the things that I'm more confident will work. And we have new medications in veterinary medicine, things like trazodone and gabapentin, that are a little bit more reliable than CBD. So again, probably not going to hurt anything because the formulations that are on the market are pretty safe. But the biggest concern I have is you might find you're just still dealing with a dog that's shaking in a corner, has accidents in the house, up barking all night, really still very nervous. And for those of you that are dealing with those dogs, I hope you called your vet this week, not tomorrow, not Monday, because we are going to have some fireworks this weekend. If you haven't, give them a call as soon as you can. You want to be set up well for this weekend.
And what about those thunder things, those thunder shirts? People were really into them for a while. I haven't heard any buzz about them lately.
Well, I think, you know, the other interesting thing about those is there is science behind those. They can work for, again, mild anxiety. They're a great complement to medications and behavioral therapy and other things. So again, doesn't hurt anything. They're not terribly expensive. They certainly don't make anxiety worse. And again, for some dogs, they do seem to work. So it kind of is the same thing as swaddling a baby, kind of just a little cocoon to make you feel safe and secure. It does seem to work for some dogs. So again, give it a try. If they've got mild anxiety, you may find it's all they need, which is always lovely. But if it's something more severe, it's just going to be another thing you might have to add on to, again, those old-fashioned medications.
Yeah.
And I can't even say old-fashioned, new-fashioned.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Dana Varble is with us. She's the Chicago's exotic pet vet. That's what I like to call her for short. And we've got some questions from Marianne coming up, a few on the text line. If you have one, 312-981-7200. Right now, Mary's got a check on weather and traffic.
I was in the kitchen, Seamus, that's the dog who's outside.
That's a good one. I love the sound of a hound dog. Dr. Dana Varble is with us. She is the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community and Chicago's exotic pet vet. And Mary Ann has been hanging on. Mary Ann has a question for you. Hi, Mary Ann. What's your question?
Hi, I have a Newfoundland who's 10 and a half years old. She is just, you know, she's my baby, and she's been so good for so long, and now just this summer, she has started shredding all of my hostas, and we put up a little fencing area to block them off. She was climbing over it.
Well, she's a big dog. I'm sure she could climb over just about anything. Was it cicadas?
Yeah, no,
did you have a lot of cicadas?
She didn't eat the cicadas. The other ones did, but not her. Huh. So I don't understand it.
Yeah, she dumped me as well. You know, hostas are great ornamental plants for us. They grow really well here in the summer. And the good news is they're non-toxic to dogs. Now, again, why a Newfoundland at 10 and a half, who should be entering her very dignified, glorious senior years, would start eating your hostas is a little unknown to me. They're not particularly attractive to dogs. So, you know, I would check around and underneath them, see if you've got a chipmunk or a bunny nest that's maybe hiding underneath those big, beautiful plants that's attracting her to the area. Is there a chipmunk hole or, again, something interesting that's in the same area? Because it is a little bit unusual for a dog her age to suddenly start picking up crazy habits. But to be honest, that just sounds like a crazy habit. Why she would pick hostas, I'm not sure.
Interesting. Lori just sent a text and she said, I love Dr. Varble. She went to high school with my daughter.
Oh, wonderful.
And someone else is also asking about Rescue Remedy. Apparently, it's a homeopathic mixture in the form of drops that calm anxious dogs.
So this is a homeopathic remedy. It's called Rescue Remedy. It is proprietary to the company that makes it. And I can't recall that company right now, so we're not sure what's in it. Again, it's a homeopathic remedy, so it may help, it may not. The nice thing about homeopathic remedies is that rarely, again, they really cause harm. They're not going to hurt anything. It is an alcohol-based tincture. So I will add this. If you're giving droplets and droplets and droplets to your four-pound chihuahua, the alcohol can be a problem. So I'm not sure if they make an alcohol-free formula, but you're going to want to be a little careful about how much of it you use in very small dogs or in cats. Now, I've seen it used in cats. It does seem to work well in cats. Again, some of them seem to have a very strong taste reaction to it because it is an alcohol-based tincture. And cats, you know, typically not heavy drinkers. So they tend to, like, they'll get really, like, foamy at the mouth or lick a lot from it because they don't like the taste. Sometimes it does seem to take the edge off in some of those animals. I've seen it used for animals that are very stressed with car rides or coming to the veterinarian. And again, sometimes for those mild anxieties, it does seem to take the edge off. So absolutely worth trying. Be aware it may not work in your particular pet, or they may not like the taste. So keep those things in mind.
Someone said, my 12-year-old went to get chest x-rays, then a CAT scan, then surgery to remove the cancer tumor in his liver. Unfortunately, the CAT scan showed the cancer is spread. He was no longer a candidate for the surgery. His appetite, everything's good, pants a lot when we're sleeping. What can I give him to help him sleep through the night? He's still taking his liver meds and some other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, tough. That's a tough diagnosis. Liver cancer can be very tricky. You know, the liver is a great organ. We have a lot more liver than we need, which is why humans can donate a third of their liver without getting sick or ill from it. You don't need a lot of functional, normal liver to lead a normal life. So that's a good thing. I'm very sorry to hear that your dog's tumor isn't something that we're going to be able to do surgery on. You know, the panting could just be from pressure. We always want to use a lot of caution in animals. The liver is a very important for metabolizing drugs and functioning with drugs, same as kidneys. So we're going to want to find something really mild. So you could talk to your veterinarian about maybe trying something, some melatonin. This is a case where maybe one of those CBD remedies might not be a bad call. Again, use very cautiously because the liver is responsible for metabolizing a lot of our substances, our foods, our drugs, our nutrients. So you may see it change over time, too, since we know, especially in this case, that the liver is going to eventually be affected and fail.
Right.
Yeah. So good luck with that. Very cautious, but, you know, some types of cancer take a long time. So I've got my fingers and toes crossed on that one that you're going to have a lot of normal time, happy time still left with your pet. Yeah.
Okay, couple quick questions here. We adopted a 9-year-old chihuahua who is afraid of walking on our tiled floor. Is there any way to help him be less afraid at 9 years old? Is it too late? And let me say thank you for adopting a 9-year-old dog.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, in a 9-year-old chihuahua, they could live for 9 more years.
Yeah, that's
little
true.
Guys. So hang in there, yeah. And that means you do have time to work on this, you know. Certainly, older dogs don't train as quickly, just like us adults don't learn as fast as our kids. But they're absolutely capable of learning new things. So, tile can be tough for dogs. It's very slick. It's very slippery. First, let's make sure our nails are trimmed and they're not sliding around on that tile. Long nails make it really hard to walk on slick surfaces. Second, let's try maybe some thin mats. Or if you ever see those, they line the end of the bottom of cabinets. It's got like a little foam with some holes in them. Put some of those pads around to try and get them to kind of walk from, you know, non-slick area to non-slick area in the hopes that eventually we'll start learning to walk on the tile. If they haven't been exposed to it before, it may take some time for them to learn that they're not going to slip and fall on it.
Okay, and we've only got, we don't have any time left, and there's more questions coming in, but we always appreciate your time. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yes, everyone have a wonderful and safe 4th of July. Enjoy your family and your pets next weekend.
Dr. Dana Varble, Chicago's exotic pet vet, and we did get a note from someone that said they have a friend who has a dog that freaks at fireworks, and that person books a soundproof dog-friendly hotel by the airport over the 4th just so that the both of them can sleep and the dog can be calm. That's a pet lover for sure. Steve's news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN.